You're listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmour. This is KTAH Radio Tacoma 101.9 Sound Poetry. I'm your host, David Gilmour. And it's our pleasure today to have an all-around artist of various talents, Mr. Glenn Butkus of Blogicity, earlier in his life an aspiring film actor, poet of great abundance, and also an international photographer. Welcome, Glenn, to Sound Poetry. It's going to be your half hour to rage on.
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. And good afternoon, David. Yes, I was a professional actor for 10 years. I went through the professional acting training program at the University of Washington, one of the first that was ever started, a three-year program. And it has now been running for 47 years. And I was in the third year of it back in 70 to 73. I worked at being both unemployed and being an actor for 10 years, and I just kind of had enough.
Tell us a little bit about your poetry platform that you established as Blogicity.
Yes, well, about 12 years ago, I began actually putting my poetry online and got a pretty good following. And then it took me a while, because I'm not terribly hip, to figure out that what I needed to do to get to an international status was to get out there and find some poetry blogs that give you prompts and then write to those prompts. And then you end up joining a community of poets. The one that I'm in now is called Diverse Poets Pub, and it's international. And I've been with them for about 7 years. I've published in their anthology 3 times. And I just love the group. There's about 50 or 60 poets from all over the world. You write a poem to a prompt, and maybe let's say a dozen, 15 people respond, and you reciprocate, and you read their poetry, and you respond to theirs. And that simple reciprocity builds a relationship and fellowship.
Give us a sample of something that you have put on your site and send out there. We'd like to hear you start roaring a little.
Okay, I picked 3 poems, one about COVID-19, one about Trump, and one about COVID-19. The third one's kind of short. So we can certainly start off with a poem that I call Armageddon Before Aramis. Anger and cruelty disfigure public discourse. Democracy is in danger, and truth is being swept away. This is from The Guardian. For 3 years, we've watched democracy suffering 10,000 cuts, and now the old war horse can barely stand up. Her tack is shredded, her muscles are severed, her eyes have cloudy cataracts, her ears are beaten flat, her heart beats berserkly with both arrhythmia and tachycardia pounding against her broken ribs. Then an Asian bat bit a Norwegian rat, who bit a Siamese cat, who bit a Chinese farmer, who coughed on his wife, and deadly drops of COVID-19 were unleashed, and it spread to every corner of the planet with 10G lightning speed. The global map turned red, and death began having a field day, piling up bodies faster than all the morgues, mortuaries, and cemeteries could accommodate. So here we are, by the billions, sheltering in place, endeavoring to slow down the inexorable corona spread. In 1918, it took 2 years to control the Spanish flu. In them days, pretty much everyone caught it, and you either beat it or it killed you. We stare out of our double-paned picture windows, fashioning face masks out of silk scarves and red bandanas, listening to the media blare out the terrible toll 100 times a day, waiting for those government checks, begging for extended due dates, as commerce grinds to a halt and the stock market becomes schizophrenic, knowing that the rent is still due and we are banished to basements, constructing a psychic chrysalis around ourselves. When we finally hear the all clear and we emerge from our gym sock cocoon, we will all sprout some beautiful wings, but we may find one ecstatic week later that we will simply clog the clouds with global rapture. Maybe the four horsemen are already among us. Maybe the dark prophets were correct. Maybe the end days are upon us, or maybe not. Maybe the hysteria will subside with the virus. Maybe we'll be better prepared for the next pandemic and the next, each worse than before. Maybe this is nature's tough love, global pruning. Maybe the survivors will have acquired wisdom and they will correct the tilting Earth's axis and banish nationalism, partisanism, populism, and fascism. Maybe kindness, compassion, and love will override, overcome, overwhelm greed, cruelty, and stupidity. Yeah, maybe.
Good maybes. Good maybes, yeah. Positive maybes. How about that? That was the shorter one. You're a social, political, scientific poet. Yes, working even with images of the four horsemen and probably a couple of mangy hounds circling around the hooves of their horses, right? With Absolutely. A few rats behind the docks. Very good. They're very powerful. You used the word hip earlier on. Hip comes, of course, from probably the beat generation, hip, you know. Do you feel that there is a beat element that has been inspirational in some of your howl-like verse?
Absolutely. I grew up on Ginsberg and Gary Snyder and Kerouac and others, kind of then moved on to Bukowski and many, many others, Nureta and so forth. Probably I did start in junior high in a creative writing class, and then I started kind of winning awards when I was in high school. And then, of course, when I got to college, I had a lot of teachers who were a little bit taken aback and overwhelmed by me, and some who did have a lot of faith in me. But then I got drafted and was in the service for a couple of years. And when I came back, I went right back to college and ended up in that acting training program. But yeah, I always enjoyed that sense of outrage and howling and being slightly off center and slightly out of the norm. There was somebody during the time that I was doing open mic who began calling me the last beat poet in Tacoma. There were a few others who didn't agree with that, but I thought that was kind of nice.
Well, did you write any poems of recent times that have a film or movie element theme in them?
I did, but I didn't happen to pick one for today.
Oh, well.
I know we were together in the Tacoma Film Club where you wrote very lengthy, epic poetic verse on even scripts.
As did you.
Yeah. But I didn't write mine as scripts in verse. Well, read another poem that you've got on hand, because we'd like to hear as much of what you're doing, since it's topical and it sounded very positive as well as down to earth, it's good to get some of these wild ideas out that range over the problems of our particular time. Yeah,
I agree. For those listening, David was the director of the Tacoma Film Club for a while, and then he sort of acquiesced and left it to me for a few years. And our association with that group was about 12 to 15 years. We saw a lot of good films, had a lot of good discussions. It was a fine, fine time. Mm-hmm. Okay, I do have a Trump poem, if you'd like to hear it. It's entitled J. Hump Records. I hear that Melania has a reoccurring nightmare. She's in bed, pinned down under a 300-pound sack of orange shit. This is a quote by Bill Maher. Damn, it was little Bill who broke the news. Our president has let rap become his new muse. Debonair Donnie has found a way to expand his base and rejuvenate his presidency. Bitches Five, a new rap group, performed at the White House during Black History Month. Midway during the show, Trump leaped to his feet, turned his red ball cap backwards, and began to rap alongside the performers. He and the lead singer began to bump hips and then did a facsimile of a tango while rapping in counterpoint duet. Everyone clapped, and our president became smitten. At 3 a.m., he began a tweet storm. OMG, I am in lust with hashtag Shakuth, and she adores hashtag me. My secret love with rap has been revealed. She is now my constant companion. Moving her now into the White House. Hashtag she makes me feel 40 again. I'm appointing her the hashtag Secretary of the Arts. That hag, Melania, is out in the cold. While sexy Foxy, hashtag Shakuth, has captured my heart. Skank, hashtag Melania, will live in New Jersey. And I won't divorce her, of course, because that could stain my political image, and she's okay with that. Shakuth is a gorgeous 25-year-old New York-bred, sassy, sometimes lesbian, who is half Black and half Jewish. She told CNN that her lovey name for the president is J. Hump. He created a record company for her, and her first album, J. Hump Rules, has shot to the top of the pop charts and is very popular in Israel. She's at his side 24/7, replacing Ivanka as his political advisor. She is my chocolate Yoko Ono. She began to dress just like him, starting a new fashion trend and resurrecting his clothing line. His popularity numbers rose from 35% to 75%. She stated to Fox and Friends, I flat out told Jay, you want to keep tapping this fine ass, then there's no more fucking Nazis. She recruited 50 of her LGBTQ friends to be her brown shirt posse, dressing them like Mussolini thugs. They're all strapped with pink Glocks. The Secret Service works with them, and they're all eager to do photo ops with the new entourage. Jared and Ivanka throw huge parties now where the Bitches Five perform, celebrating all the Jewish high holidays. Our president goes to a Jewish temple on Saturday and a Baptist church on Sundays, and he's learned a lot of Yiddish epithets, which now spice up his tweets. A rabbi has a new office alongside the White House chapel. Trump has been endorsed by Jews for Jesus and Woody Allen. Trump said, I am now having a ball. Don't need no fucking wall. I told Little Rocket Man that from now on he can keep his regime because he's part of my team. I told all those losers in Europe they could suck my syrup. Because while I'm banning all travel to the Middle East, except for Israel, because my diplomacy is dope. It's a fucking fantastic movable feast. Yep, And we fixed Obamacare, did it on a dare. I tell you, I couldn't be a happier man, because Mexicans have turned into Mexicans. And I've gone from being a sad sack zero to a fucking red, white, and blue superhero.
Whoa. Somebody's going to be happy listening to that. Do you think we should go and wash our hands now and come back?
I wonder. You know, and the strange thing about that poem is I actually started dreaming it, and I wrote part of it before I woke up. That happens every once in a while.
Well, it sounds like a noon nightmare to me.
Yeah. Shakuth is a cross between Shakira and Ruth.
Really good. Yeah, that one really comes across with some punch. You can't really escape certain scatological elements at times in poems that demand a good bit of vitriol, and you want to get your bile worked up a little bit too.
Yeah. I was listening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Worked up a little bit.
Yeah. More, if you wish, that's on the social, or even you used to go wandering the mornings with your camera, and you had poems that came out of those wanderings where you probably thought the poetry through imagery you were photographing, maybe.
Oh, I haven't even done any photography, though I've used my backlog to run my photography site for about a year. What was fun, on Twitter, you know, they used to have 6-word stories based on Hemingway's shortest novel, Baby Shoes for Sale, Baby Shoes Never Worn. So you get into a battle on Twitter with other poets doing 6-word stories, and you begin to realize that you can do a lot with 6 words, or the haiku form, or the senru form, or the tanka form. So I went through for a long time, and when I would post one of my photographs, I would just put a little piece of poetry under it. That was a lot of fun. And the truth is, each image is worth more than 1,000 words. That's why when you're out there doing prompts, often what they give you is an image prompt, and you write a poem by what you see or feel from that image. I do have one more short poem, another long one, which is about Trump. Which would you, the short one, I think, is very topical and interesting. I like also the Trump one, which is topical. Which would you want to hear right now?
Start with the short one and then deliver the long one.
All right. The short one. They will come. Science reckons many prophets, but there is not even a promise of a Messiah. Thomas Huxley. Nothing shall befall us except what God has ordained. Jesus Christ. On Twitter yesterday. Yes, I have risen yet again. Tomorrow, I will make a public appearance in Marfa, Texas. JC. Why Marfa, Texas? Many thought. The tiny town made famous in 1956 when they filmed Giant there. Good Friday, Easter, and now this. At dawn, there was a 50-mile backup of cars streaming down the 2-lane blacktop from I-10. In the fairgrounds, they found a stark pinewood platform erected at the base of 3 40-foot crosses. People came in masks, and they kept 6 feet between themselves. They carried coolers, camp stools, and beach chairs. No one said a word. They exchanged furtive glances, and they watched the cloudless blue sky. Soon there was tens of thousands gathered there, kind of like an inaugural. By twilight, nothing had actually happened. The silence prevailed. No one left. And no one came onto the bare platform.
Ah, it's very good that you chose Giant, the town of Giant for this setting. Yeah, brilliant, good. Go for the long one now, right?
Okay, one moment here. Now, is that something you had shared with me, that you have read some of your poetry on this show?
A few verses, yeah. I did have a short stint and read some nature poetry. Fairly simplistic, from Idaho. Simple scenes.
Okay, sir. This is called Jackass the Ripper. Reason obeys itself, and ignorance submits to whatever is dictated to it. Thomas Paine. Most of us were shocked, even embarrassed, when Trump won the presidency in 2016, because every poll labeled him a joke and a loser. Even he didn't believe he could win. Yet way too many Hillary haters who'd voted for Obama dropped their votes into Trump's shit-stained lap, catapulting a cosmic moron, a populist puss ball, into the most important job in the free world, which he pissed on immediately as he launched his larcenous litany of pernicious and asinine lies, acting like a madman taking over the asylum, projecting his ignorant worldview, his immoral behavior, his racist, xenophobic, misanthropic, wannabe, autocratic, treasonous godfather complex into and onto the blindfolded lemmings in America, gathering to himself a cunning cadre of dishonest, bought henchmen, and most of the shell-shocked, fearful, subservient, sycophantic Republicans, hiding behind this new ruling that a sitting president cannot be prosecuted, and that he is permitted to use the DOJ, the CIA, and the FBI as his personal lapdogs and thugs to strong arm, silence, or manipulate anyone with the temerity to stand up to him. Spending 2 years attacking the Mueller report and then laughing at the 9 counts of abuse of power it outlined, declaring it an exoneration, paying no attention to the hundreds of lawyers who signed a letter stating that if he wasn't the president, if he had been anyone else, he'd have been put in prison. And then he scoffed at the 23 women who were united in a lawsuit accusing him of rape and harassment. He disregarded the dozens of pending litigations regarding his questionable business practices. He successfully hides his tax returns. All this overshadowed by his belligerent, bellicose bullying on the world stage, his insane saber rattling, and his propensity for threatening nuclear annihilation of Korea and Syria and Iran. Because many believe that in one of his immature, blind rages, he could actually start World War III. And even if he failed to do that, it's painfully evident that he desires to become president for life. And he's not afraid to handcuff Lady Justice, pardon Roger Stone, continue to add to the coffers of the very wealthy, to sell out the middle class, to gang rape Lady Liberty, to disembowel the sacred cow of democracy, to outlaw freedom, the press, and all forms of dissent, finally ripping the throat out of the Republic.
Do you get a catharsis out of these diatribes, these harsh rants? You are, in a way, trying to still catalog the flaws. I mean, they need to be repeated, just as his propaganda repeats the same old stupidity, right?
Right. You know, it's Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, it's always tell a lie enough times and it becomes accepted as the truth. It's just one of those things that happens.
You can do another one.
Blackbird blues. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. The Beatles. Winter froze the moonlight into knotted braids of pale rope that swirled in the icy blasts, oscillating their shadows. So it appeared that the landscape had become a piano keyboard, and a laughing, lunar, invisible pianist plunked out a wind waltz, creating a woodwind musicale out of the dancing black and white keys. On this night, the leaden skies of ebon evening turned into red, weeping blood, a startling stigmata, throbbing with some unknown despair. As a solitary raven swooped through the sticky thermals, its feathers growing heavy with steaming plasmaic mist, only being clearly seen as it winged sadly past the moon, on the hunt, predator, not trickster, cawing in its minor bird tones. All is madness. Dystopia has descended upon us, and stupidity was the worst virus we endured last year. Blackbird flying in darkness with lunatic grace, searching for the truth.
So we've probably read for close to 25, 30 minutes, but I think in case Steve wants to edit here and there,
we could do and
one. You can do another one if you wish, and we'll have our final words. But read another one then, and okay, just go for it.
Thank you. I wrote this one just a few days ago, all in couplets. The Sacred Order of Alacrity. Give me a bowl of wine. I have not that alacrity of spirit nor cheer of mind that I was wont to have. William Shakespeare. Yes, there was a time I fully believed in order before the dark descent of chaos and murder. For one thing, I thought I understood logic, but no answers were found in Zen or Kajik. At the moment, our world is upside down, sad as innocent blood on a wedding gown. It's true, I tend to be habitual, and I have a fondness for ritual. I know I respond poorly to all change, but that's normal for a man of my age. Ego dictates that I attempt to gain control, leading to self-deprecation and being droll. Order is negotiable when you're married, when whims and wishes get buried. For 3 years we've suffered with Trump, watching him kick America in the rump. Perhaps it's too easy to blame the Donald, even though he definitely needs to be throttled. Fascism and dictatorship are a world problem, as we are all force-fed that political pablum. This pandemic is not all that heaven allows, as Jesus sits with deep knitted brows. Too many of us are ending up in freezer cars, and we can't even frequent local bars. One fine day, order will actually be restored, saving some of us from being clinically bored. On April 18th, Paul Revere did a famous ride, making colonists have to turn the royal tide. In November, we must all vote blue, when riding with Biden will just have to do.
Well, good message to end with, Glenn. This is Glenn Butkus. I hope you all enjoyed it. This is Sound Poetry, and we thank you, Glenn, very much. Take care.
Yes.
Bye-bye.